Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is the university president, Dr. Stephen Jones. The title of his message is A Focus on Our Foe. The text is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 through 9.
You would please this morning turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to know, and those of you who've heard me preach know, that this focus isn't one that I do frequently on purpose. However, there have been several burdens of the last months and even weeks that the Lord has laid on my heart that brought this to the surface, and the Lord wouldn't let me away from it. And I've been praying a great deal this morning for the Lord's guidance and wisdom and protection, even in sharing this message. But if you would, look in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This morning, I want to focus on our foe. I want to say from the outset, he's a defeated foe. He was defeated at Calvary. His head has been bruised, and the victory will one day be complete. But yet he is around, according to these verses. He's on the prowl. Today, he is walking about with an intent for you and for me. And his furor, his hatred for God and God's people and God's creation is undimmed from what it was the first time it was unleashed on the earth against Adam and Eve. As we focus on him, I do so with the thought that we need to be aware of our enemy and we need to be reminded of him. And clearly that's scriptural. Peter is doing that here, reminding the believers that there is an enemy abroad and he has his sight set on them. And this morning, young people, he has his sight set on you and on me. I shared with the faculty at the opening of the school year, this summer was a summer of battle for me personally, where Satan was on the attack in my mind and heart more than I remember in a long time. And it was furious. And it was discouraging. It was sobering. I've talked to others who said the same thing, that the attacks of Satan have been unparalleled in their own hearts and lives recently. But then I've had occasion recently to see those attacks find their mark and wound and cripple some who will never be restored to their former place of usefulness because of their failure. Look again at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. If I could translate that with some of the emotional meaning attached to the words in the Greek, I would say something like this. Be self-controlled and alert, because your arch enemy... Did you know you have one of those? You have an arch enemy? You may say, well, you know, I'm just a college student, I'm just a high schooler, I'm just a junior higher. I've never done anything, but he has his sights on you as your arch enemy. And he is walking about, still in verse 8, walking at large, seeking whom he may gulp down, literally is what's there. He is seeking whom he may devour, whom he can swallow down whole, whom he can consume and destroy. That's his goal for you. That's his goal for me. And we're told in light of that, in verse 8, to be sober and vigilant, to be self-controlled, not to be loose in our self-restraints, not to be pandering to the desires of our flesh and of our mind, but to be self-controlled and to be vigilant, to be watchful. And you know what? We fail the Lord when we let down our guards. We fail the Lord when we begin to play it easy with Satan or let him get a foothold in our life and think, I can control this much. This much he can have and it will stay secret and nobody has to know and it will never get the best of me. We fail the Lord and we will fail and fall if we maintain that. We're told, we're commanded, and these are imperatives in Scripture, to be self-controlled and to be alert. And if you have not been aware and alert and self-controlled today, if I have not been to his attacks, we have failed the Lord in our responsibility because it's a command. As believers, this is supposed to be our constant pose in readiness for the attacks of our arch enemy. I want to share a couple of facts about him. What is he like? How does he attack? First, I want you to remember, I want myself to remember, that Satan is a liar. Keep your finger in 1 Peter 5 and turn back to John chapter 8, please. I want you to look at these verses. John chapter 8. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. John 8, verse 44. Jesus is speaking. And he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Christ is saying one of the strongest characteristics of Satan is that at his very core, he is a liar. In fact, when Christ says, you're of your father, the devil, he uses the Greek word used to translate the Hebrew word that means slanderer. He intentionally comes with false accusations against you and against God. He is a slanderer. He knows he's using falsehood. He's the father of it. He's a liar. And whatever your area of temptation this morning, whatever your struggles have been so far over the weekend and this week, keep in mind, Satan is always at his core a liar. What he's telling you, what he is feeding you now, it's false. The things he is holding out to you, the things he is offering, extending, making them look so inviting to you, they are false. Because Satan at the core is a liar and the father of it. Don't be deceived about that. Whatever your temptation is, it's not what's being offered. Satan is a liar. He will always give less than expected. Think what he offered to Adam and Eve. He said, if you do this, if you will take this, you'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. He set this beautiful, glossy picture in front of them and said, here's what you'll have, Adam and Eve, if you fall for this sin. If you indulge in this, you'll be like gods. Did they know good and evil? Yes. But did they know it in the way that they had hoped and he had presented? No. They knew it by experience and they knew it by consequence. They knew it, that the father of lies had tripped them up. And he will always give less than expected. Right now, for some of you, he's holding out something, a lifestyle, a way, a direction, a secret sin, and saying, this is worth it. This is worth leaving behind what you know to be true from the Word of God. This is worth leaving the shelter of a godly family. This is worth it. If he's approaching you like that, keep in mind, he's a liar. He will always give less than expected. And another part of his lying, he cannot set aside the consequences of what you do. Satan approaches us like that, doesn't he? He comes up and he says, you know what? You can do this and there will be no consequences. You can do this and manage it in such a way that no one will ever know. You can do this and you can keep it for years and it can flourish and you can enjoy it. And you don't have to pay for it. But who set the law of sowing and reaping in order? God. And can Satan overturn that? No. Galatians chapter 6 is very clear. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That if you reap again to your flesh and to your flesh and to your flesh without turning in repentance, to the Lord, you will reap corruption from that. There will be a payday. And you will pay dearly for that. But Satan doesn't tell us that at the beginning. He says you can do this and never pay the consequence. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure it will. Satan can't set that aside. That's God's law. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. If you have something in your heart that you are covering, that you have taken the bait, and you think, I can hold this, be reminded this morning, Satan has lied to you. He has no authority to set aside the consequences of those sins. And he is not giving you what he originally presented. Second, Satan is a temporary giver. Satan is a temporary giver. Does he give pleasure? Yes. Does it last? No. In Hebrews chapter 11, where it's speaking of Moses and the choice he made in being identified with the people of God, it says this in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible is clear. It's straightforward that there is pleasure in sin. If there weren't, why would people sin? They wouldn't. There is pleasure in sin. But the Bible is also honest with you, unlike Satan, in making it clear that it is for a season. And it is not worth what it was presented to be. It is for a season. He is a temporary giver. He gives you the pleasure just to get you hooked. And then from then on, he reels you in. Many of you know from psychology and science the law of diminishing returns. That someone who originally gets high on a substance, as their body begins to get used to that substance, you have to continue to raise the dose in order to get the same buzz out of it. There's the law of diminishing returns. The pleasure is falling off and you have to keep doing something to increase it. The same goes for the lusts of the flesh. Any of the lusts of the flesh. There is a law of diminishing returns. It is pleasure, but it is for a season. He is a temporary giver. So what he has given to you, has he given it with goodwill, saying, here, take this? You can have this and enjoy it? No. It's got a string attached. Because he is a temporary giver. And be advised, he doesn't give without taking. What are some of the things he takes? He takes your fellowship with the Lord. We've already discussed this year. He gets you to fall, to believe his lie, to accept the sin that the Scripture tells you is not for you as a believer. And he takes your fellowship. Psalm 66 tells us that if I regard or if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He'll hear me if I come in repentance, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. But there is something in our relationship that has cut off the life source of fellowship, communion with our God. That fellowship, that closeness, that joy, that warmth, that tenderness, that thrill of walking closely with your God, knowing that there's nothing between you and the Savior, that is gone. And in place of that, satisfying water is just pebbles in your mouth. Because Satan is a temporary giver. He doesn't give without taking. He takes your fellowship and he takes your freedom. Romans 6:16 tells us, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Many of you know this. Because this morning, as you sit here, you're a captive in your mind, in your desires, in your body. Because recently, or perhaps years ago, Satan came along with a temptation and he said, here this is, it's good, go for it. And that sin inside you, which Dr. Mazak talked about yesterday morning, that sin inside you responded to the temptation and reached out and grabbed it and was caught with the bait. And you thought it would be something, perhaps one experience, perhaps more, but now you're a slave to it. Your freedom is gone. And very much inside of you rises up at times and screams out, I want to be free of this. I would have never taken this step if I had known the domination this would bring. But you've been hooked by a liar, by an arch enemy who's a temporary giver. He offered you something, and when he did and you took it, he took something with it. And what he took was infinitely more valuable than what he gave. He gave you some temporary pleasures, but he took freedom and fellowship that you need. And now you desire with all your heart. Satan, third, is a destroyer. We'll end with this. Satan is a destroyer. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, it gives him the formal name Apollyon, which is Greek for destroyer. God has told us the name of Satan, and he is, one of his names is destroyer. This is what he is. It represents what's in his heart. It represents what he does. It represents what he desires to do to you and to me. He is a destroyer. Again, from 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, gulp down, destroy. That's his goal. His goal is not to give you pleasure, but he'll use it if that can be the foothold to destroying you. His goal is destruction. And he uses a lot of tools indiscriminately, purposely, to get there. He's like a roaring lion. He's fierce and determined. He's ravenously hungry for you. He's the archenemy of God, and he's your sworn enemy as well. And he is trying to destroy you. His aims, what does he desire? He desires to destroy your soul. If you're a Christian, he can't get that, because you are held with Christ in God. And Christ has said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. If you're a Christian, he can't destroy your soul. But there are some here who are playing a game, and you know you're not a Christian. Some of you who are having this veneer on the surface to tell people, to show people, hope they get the message that you are right, that you're a good boy, good girl, that everything's okay. But you know that your intentions are set to following this world. Because Satan has lied to you. And he's deceived you to think, you know what, this was good for your parents. But you can't really believe it. It's not good enough for you. Just hold on. Just keep up the act for now. And then you can get out there and let yourself out. Take off the self-restraint that's been put around you. And you know you're not saved. Does Satan desire to give you that world, the pleasure, everything he's holding out in front of you and keeping you blinded to where that's all leading? That's not his goal. His goal is your destruction. And there will be millions one day who, in the self-delusion of their own sinfulness and in the enforced blindness of Satan, will one day hear the words of the Lord, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Their souls will have been destroyed. They will have been forever cut off from eternal life in God. He desires to destroy your conscience. 2 Timothy talks about the doctrines of devils that sear the conscience. To destroy your conscience, to take the edge off it, to make it less sensitive. And as the Holy Spirit convicts you about things and you say, no, I won't respond. I'm not willing yet to give that up. I won't take that step that God wants of me. I won't turn. It hardens your conscience. And Satan is glad. Because a hardened conscience doesn't respond as eagerly the next time to the Holy Spirit's conviction. And he's got you on a path. And his design in that path is to take as much as he can and destroy you. His goal is to destroy your mind and body. Think of the numbers of people in our society who are going after sin headlong in spite of the fact the deterioration, the toll it takes on their body, the destruction it's working on their body. And Satan is gleeful But his goal is to destroy your family as well. A number of years ago, I had a friend whose father, a well-respected man in his church, was harboring sin and came home one day and just picked up his luggage without even saying goodbye to his kids and walked out from his five children and his wife and never came back. You know what? God had good things in store for that family. But Satan was trying to destroy it. Satan was trying to destroy and did get a foothold in the father's life. He was trying to destroy the mother's faith. But you know what? He is so vicious. He didn't want to stop just there. His goal was to destroy the life of those children as well. And the sin of those parents, the sin of that father, had consequences on the children. And his goal was to turn them away, to get them to say, I don't want to take that route. Look at what a hypocrite my father was. Look at this bitterness within me for what he did to wrong me. And they were wronged. But his goal was to destroy not just the marriage of the parents, but to destroy the lives of those children. And by God's grace, and only by God's grace, that didn't happen. But that story could be repeated countless times across this congregation, where Satan has got the foothold in one life, but that's not what his whole goal was. He was aiming far broader. He was aiming at the lives of those innocent children as well. And isn't that revolting? But that's the foe you have. That's the foe that many of you have let in, have been treating him like some kind of tame kitten that you can let in and you can keep in a box, that you can let him have parts of your life, that you can take some of those pleasures and keep them secret. But this morning from the scriptures, the curtain is pulled back. He is not some tame cat. He is a roaring lion. And if you have dropped your guard, and if you have dropped your self-control, you're ripe for a failure. What are you to do? What am I to do? Verse 9, whom resist? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? As James tells us in James 4, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it's not in your own strength, but it is in the faith. Get to know the word. Get your values. Get your aims. Get your instructions from this, not from a liar, not from a temporary giver, not from a destroyer. And this morning, some of you, before you go on with the day, you need to get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I swallowed the bait. Lord, forgive me. And Lord, help me. And some of you may need to get counseling. You may need to get help from somebody else. Because you are so much in bondage to something that it has a hold on you and has for years, and you need to get some help and accountability, somebody who can get side by side with you with the Lord and the Word and help you out. But keep in mind that you and I today have a foe, and that we are to be self-controlled and we are to be on the alert and we are to be resisting him. And if we are not, we are failing the imperatives, the command of our God in light of our foe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as frail human beings with no strength in our own. We come to you as those who have failed you so often because we believe Satan's lies. We've believed his advances, the things he's promoted to us. We've swallowed the bait. Lord, we've elevated our own wisdom, thinking that we could control this one who's far greater than we are. But Lord, while we admit he's greater than we are, we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We know that Jesus Christ has already defeated him. And so if there is someone here who has been defeated by Satan, we pray this morning that they would stop and that they would take the time to ask your forgiveness, to ask your help, to seek some counsel, to seek some accountability. Because Satan is bent on destroying us. And some of us have let him in. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us to resist steadfast in the faith, that you might be glorified.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Stephen Jones. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.